Morning, church, and welcome to Sunday service. We are still in lockdown, but tomorrow we're in level 3. So I hope you guys are doing well. And as usual, I hope your hearts are full of faith and the Lord is speaking to us. Rhema words, faith handles to lead us through a stormy season. Today is a big day for our country, being a National Prayer Day, for which I'm so thankful. And I'm trusting that we all are praying as the Lord leads us. And we're trusting that major breakthrough will come soon in our country. It's also Pentecost Sunday. I did a post on Saturday on Facebook and I said, for believers, every single day after Pentecost carries the full potential of Pentecost. And so I'm not doing a very big Pentecost service today for the mere reason that every day is a celebration of Pentecost after Pentecost. And every day has the full potential of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our families, in our church community. And so I'm just thankful and I'm trusting that we're going to walk in that full potential. Speaking of which, I read a quote that really just struck my heart in a big way. Jim Elliot said, "Forgive me for being so ordinary while claiming to know an extraordinary God." Forgive me for being so ordinary while claiming to know so extraordinary a God. And that just made me freeze and pause for a moment, realizing that there's such a massive potential in following Christ and having His Holy Spirit dwell in me and seeing what happened in the New Testament and what happened in the early church, that I can just stand still and say, Lord, yes, that's me. I want to grow and be a greater reflection of You in a broken world. I want to really be salt and light to the world around me. And I'm not always. Yes, I do see pockets of that in my life and in our lives. But I believe there's so much more that we can grow in to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we're doing a series on the Holy Spirit. Today is the third part in the Holy Spirit series. And we're still going to reflect on who the person of the Holy Spirit is. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for a moment in time that we can spend together. Thank You for Your presence in every home, behind every screen and every cell phone or TV or wherever somebody might be watching and receiving Your word today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You will speak deeply into our lives and that man's faith will not be based on my words, but Your Holy Spirit and power, Lord. Father God, we don't want to miss what You have for us. We don't want to walk in just a slight bit of the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so, Lord, teach us, but then also help us to encounter, not to only know about, but to truly know You and to truly know the person of the Holy Spirit. Lord, have Your way in our church community. Have Your way in everybody's heart that listens today. And Lord, may we not settle for anything that is substandard, that is not the fullness of what You had and have for us as Your children, in Jesus' name. Lord, just have Your way. Just please have Your way. Holy Spirit, just come and encounter Your people. Just encounter Your people today, in Jesus' name. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Amen. I just sense the Holy Spirit and the presence of God, and I pray that He will just encounter you where you're at. He knows what your heart cry is, and He knows where you and I need to grow, and so may we grow today. Last week, we said we're going to take bite sizes. We only looked at a couple of things, namely the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, ever present. Hallelujah for that in a pandemic season. That's good news. And then He's eternal. In other words, same as Christ, being the Spirit of Christ, yesterday, today, and forevermore the same, the Alpha and the Omega. And I'm thankful for that. Then we looked at the names of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, and said that we can learn much from what the Holy Spirit is called. And so we can build our faith because we know that the character of God is sure and He will be the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so we said the Holy Spirit is firstly the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. In other words, He will always reflect the liking, the values, and the ways of Christ in our lives. He's the Spirit of truth, which we need in this season. He's the Counselor, Helper, and Comforter. I always need that, and I bet you too. He's the Spirit of life, and that's where we're going to stop today and hover and trust that the Lord just open up something more for us. And then also He's the Spirit of adoption, Spirit of grace, Spirit of glory, and the Spirit of the Lord. But coming back to the Spirit of life, I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a season where you live but you don't live? You feel you're awake, but you're not really awake. You're kind of going through the motions. You're ticking the boxes. It is maybe the cliche, the lights are on but nobody's home type of thing. Or you wake up and you've lost your heart, or maybe lost the zeal for life. And so you are alive, but you're not living. And I think that's maybe what the Lord wants to just come and touch on today in our lives. And I want to ask you, even in lockdown, albeit level 5, 4, and 3 coming up tomorrow, are you really living? Are you really living? Obviously, if you're listening to this, you are breathing and you're living. But are you really living? And the name of the Holy Spirit, being the Spirit of life, I believe holds a great key for us to really live. And so my challenge to you is to be honest, raw and honest again, and to say, yes, Lord, I am living, or no, Lord, I'm actually not living. Please lead me into the fullness of life. Christ came to give life and life in abundance. And I don't always walk in that. In fact, I need to fight hard for that. I need to get into the Word. I need to fellowship with the Lord. I need to get to know the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit more. I need to spend time with fellow believers so that I can have that life and life in abundance. And so we read about the Spirit being the Spirit of life in Romans 8 verse 2. Now the New King James Version says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death." So what does that mean? Just quickly in Romans 8, we're going to just use this as a foundation. Now from here, we will build on and just dissect and get to know and growing knowledge of who the person of the Holy Spirit is, this Spirit of life. Saying that we live, yes, but we really want to live. And what does it mean? How does it work spiritually? How does it work biblically? How does it work for a Christian? And in fact, how does it work for all mankind? And so Romans 8 says the following, and I'm going to read a couple of verses because it's sketching a picture for us. It's setting the table for what I believe the Lord wants to show us today. So let's read together. Romans 8. "Therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus, because the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus," that's very important to remember, "the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus." It seems like a very chunky couple of words, and it is, but we're going to break it down and simplify it so that we can all learn and move together. "Has set you free from the law of sin and death." And so now here's two contrasting things. And we know, because we camped on the covenants at the beginning of the year, we now know that there's an old covenant and a new covenant. And here it refers to, firstly, the new covenant. That is the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus. And then the second one has set us free from the law of sin and death. And so that's the old covenant. So remember these two things. When it comes to life and the Spirit of life, it's important to know that it's a new covenantal blessing to all of us. And it is in contrast to what we saw in the old covenant being the law of sin and death. So that's important. And now the word he explains to us exactly what it is. Verse 3. "What the law could not do, since it was limited by the flesh, God did." In other words, we couldn't restore right standing with God. We couldn't take the sin that befell this world. We couldn't take away by our own actions, by adhering to the law of Moses, by adhering to all the do's and don'ts of the Mosaic law. We couldn't do that. And so Christ had to come do that. God did that through His Son. "He condemned sin in the flesh by sending His own Son in the flesh like ours under sin's domain, and as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirement would be accomplished in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So it's important to remember that we can be free from the law of sin of death as long as we don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's important. For those who live according to the flesh think about the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit about the things of the Spirit. And so what am I thinking about? But remember, we're talking about the context of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of life. And I want life. And now here's a bit of a key for us. It's laying a foundation. I need to think about the things of what? The flesh? No. About the things of the Spirit. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. I want life and peace. I want real life, and I want real peace. I want real life, and I want real peace. And so maybe just quickly in a nutshell, our theme this year is Inside Out. And so beautifully here, we now already know, because we dealt with it at the beginning of the year, we know what the old covenant is and the new covenant is. We know that Christ was necessary, and by faith in Him, we now in the new covenant dispensation, receiving the Holy Spirit of God. And so coming back to the Inside Out theme, it's so beautiful that if in layman's terms you look at it like this, it's like the old covenant was the rules upon man. And the rules that came upon man, and in the new covenant, it was as if the rules was within man. In the old covenant, it was you have to do. In the new covenant, it is I want to do, and I am enabled to do. And so, very simply said, I can see it like this, and maybe it helps us in this illustration. The old covenant was outside in. The laws was on the outside, and it was almost like a yoke, a law upon man to come and change something on his inside. But yet the law just showed us we can't, and we needed Christ, the one that actually fulfilled the law. And then by faith in Him, we received the Spirit, and all of a sudden it's flipped upside down, and now it's the inside out working of the law. It's not the law on stone tablets anymore. It's now the law upon my heart. And so now it doesn't start from the outside trying to get in and change us on our inside. No, no, the Spirit comes and dwells in me. He comes and resides with me. And then He writes that law upon my heart, the Spirit's law of life on my heart. And not even just writing it, but then also enabling me. And then I can work righteousness, and I can walk uprightly from the inside out. And so it's so beautiful how the Lord said, well, you can't. Let me in. Have faith in my Son. It's grace. Receive Him by grace. And then from the inside I come and change your heart. And that's life. That for me is life and peace. I don't know about you, but I want that. Do I always walk in that reality? No. Is it a reality? Absolutely. But I am working out with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit, working this out. Now this quickly is proven. Again, what we said earlier in the year and what I so like, and this is what I want to encourage you with. The moment you feel it's heavy, I can't do it. Christianity is tough and I don't know how things are going to get right in my life. Remember this. The Lord promised in Ezekiel 36 already, He will give you a new heart. He will cleanse us and sprinkle us with water and come and take our defilement away from us and our idolatry away from us. And He'll give us a new heart and a new spirit. And then I constantly said to us that all over there in Ezekiel 36, there around about verse 27 and 26, it just constantly says, and I will, and I will, and I will. For me, it's just a beautiful picture of a good father. Saying, hey, I will help you, and I will help you, and I will help you once again. At the end of that verse, in verse 27, it says, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. In other words, it's not the law upon man anymore. It's now the law within man. And it's an inside out work that the Lord says, I will help you. I'll write it in your heart, and in fact, then I'll come and dwell in you. I'll make my home in you. And then I'll come and do it from your inside with you. The Parakletos, the one that comes alongside, the helper, the comforter, the counselor, comes and He resides on our inside. And boom, here all of a sudden, the fruit of the Spirit, life, real life, sustainable life, authentic life, loving, faithful life coming out of us. That is amazing, amazing news and amazing grace. It also confirms and proves Philippians 2 verse 13, where God just simply said, God will lead you both, or the word says, God will lead you both to will and to act. God will both lead you to will and to do for His good purpose or pleasure, some of the translations says. And That's good news. And so that's the foundation for this Holy Spirit, the person who is also called the Spirit of Life. And so let's take it a couple of steps back once again. At the beginning of the year, we said, or at least of this lockdown season, we said we need to reorientate ourselves. And there's a couple of primary things in life that's important to man. Namely, we want to be safe, secure, and we don't want to die. And so in lockdown, people are constantly thinking about this. Walking around like this, washing their hands, sanitizing, being a bit afraid, maybe being a bit critical about everybody around you. And so that is very paramount, that we are a people that primarily want to be safe and secure. We don't want to die. So safety and security is important. But there's another S I want to throw in here today, and that is to be satisfied. I don't know about you, but there's an amazing thing when you're truly satisfied in your heart and satisfied in your personhood. It can be to be fulfilled and to be content. And I don't know if you've been in a season, or maybe you find yourself in a season where you're absolutely content. You're happy, you're content and fulfilled, and you don't feel like you need something to give you life. And that's a beautiful place to be. I believe that is life and peace, is to be in a place of contentment, fulfillment. And it sucks to be in a place where you think you've got everything in this world, you've got what you wanted, you've got what you prayed for, and then still there's this nagging desire for more life or for real life on your inside. So you got what you wanted, and yet you need more and need more and need more. And that, unfortunately, is the way of the flesh. That is unfortunately part of our carnal and sinful nature without God. And we're going to break that open now, because we want to get to know the person of the Holy Spirit, and we know the person of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Life. And we want a people that do not only live, but live. We want to be a people that's not only alive, but have life and life in abundance. That people will walk around and just say, that guy doesn't need to talk about Jesus the whole time. He might not quote scripture, but there's just something there. There is just something there. It's like a fresh stream. It's like there's just life there. It is like Christ is just oozing out of this person that don't even have to say much. And that is just when I believe the Spirit of Life is operating in your and my lives. So quickly, we need to define life. And we need, when we define it, And look at the definition, we need to look back to scripture. And so the word life in English has three words in the Greek in the New Testament. Those three words are bios, psyche, and zoe. Now, excuse me for the purist out there. Excuse my pronunciations. I did Google all of them and just double check. But the first thing, bios, is very simply, if you listen to the word, you can easily hear biology. That just means your physical body, nature, and life in nature. And scripture refers to that in Luke 8 verse 14, anxieties and riches and the pleasures of life. And that life in that verse is just this bios life. Then the second one is psyche, or psyche, or psychology. And so very easily there, you can start thinking, okay, that might speak about the soul realm. And you're right, it is your soul life in a person. Now, what is your soul? That's your mind, your emotions, and your will. Just think about that quickly. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's your psyche, or psyche, or then your psychological life. Very, very easily put to us as your mind, emotions, and your will. And so your soul then, and that life is referred to in Matthew 16 verse 25. For whoever wants to save his soul life shall lose it. So whoever wants to save his life will lose it. And that life there is the psyche one, or the psyche one in English. And that refers to the soul of man. And then the third one. And here's it now. And I've referred to it now and again. We did touch on it in 2018 as a church community, but again, I believe it's so important in the season we're in, where people are fighting for what is real and what is real life, and how do you get to a place of being satisfied and content and truly fulfilled in spite of all the pressure. I believe it's important to look at this third Greek definition of life in the New Testament, being zoe, or zoe, as I would like to call it very simply. Now that in John 1:4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That is also in Romans 8 verse 2 that we referred to earlier, our foundation for today. That is also the same life referred to there, Zoe life. Now this is eternal life of God. It is divine life, and it is life that can only be of God and is in fact God Himself. He is the source of this Zoe life. And so you can see that as we as humans are triune beings, a body, a soul, and a spirit, that the spirit part has a specific divine life definition attached to it. And that is the life that only God can give. It is Zoe life. And now, it's very obvious where we're heading with this. The Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of life. And that life, if you look at Scripture, and if you go look at the Greek definition, is Zoe life. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Zoe life, a God-like life. A life that can only come from God. For we are spirit, like God. And so true satisfaction, true contentment, and true fulfillment for us as humans, like with God, can only come from Zoe life. In other words, the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of life. And so now you can start thinking, where do I look for life in my life? Is it perhaps in a hobby? Is it in media, social media? Is it in what I eat or what I drink? Is it in a relationship? Is it in family? Is it in my job, my career, my finance, my investments? Where is it that I think real life, real satisfaction, real contentment, and real fulfillment will come from? And I trust that the Holy Spirit will help us to do the math here. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the Parakletos. He is the helper. And so He's on our inside. And so the Spirit of life is on your inside. And I trust that as in my life, constantly, He will convict us when we try to find life, sustainable, satisfying, fulfilling life in anything that will not give us life. There's a good illustration for us in the Word in John 4 that'll help us, I think, to see this. Now, you've all read and heard the story of the Samaritan woman, and I believe we all are also to a big degree a Samaritan woman. She had a particular area in which she trusted, I believe, for life and fulfillment and contentment, and didn't find it. And likewise, we might have 1, 2, 3, or 16 things that we wanted so desperately get life from, but yet satisfaction, fulfillment, and that utter satisfaction in being who we are just eludes us the whole time. And so let's read this scripture and trust that the Lord will help us in our lives to get to know the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, to bring true fulfillment and contentment in our lives. Now, Jesus here is left Judea on his way to Galilee, and amongst others, they need to travel through Samaria. And now he gets to the well, he's disciples go off to buy some food, and then this is the conversation that pursued between him and the Samaritan woman. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" And so that was really taboo. Firstly, for a man to speak to a woman in this context, and then secondly for a Jew to chat to a Samaritan was really taboo. And so we note here that the Lord really wants to tell us something. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." If you knew what was going on here, ma'am, you would just ask me for living waters. You will ask me for real life. Obviously, I would say you would have asked me for Zoe life, to fill your spirit, to fill you who you really are. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water?" And so she's kind of not catching what he's saying. She's stuck in the bios. She's stuck in the psyche, the soul and the natural realm. She's just stuck there. So like, hello, where's your bucket? It's deep. You don't even have anything to draw with. And you come speak of living stuff to me. And so she doesn't catch what he's saying. But he has got a way of working with all of us. And so see here what he does. She then says, are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well to drink from it and drank from it himself, as did his son and his livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. So he says, anyone that have this bios again will yearn for it again. They will still be thirsty. And so he's just plucking away at her heart, and he's just kind of working his truth in there so that she can realize what he's actually saying. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Welling up to eternal life. And guess what? That life there is defined as the third definition of life in the Greek, namely Zoe life. Verse 15, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water again. Still maybe just stuck there in a bios psyche type of way looking at life. And she says, well, just please help me, spare me the trouble. I don't have to come to the well every day. So please just give me that water that you're talking about and spare me the going through all the trouble. And then he goes right in there. He knows her absolute being, and he knows her like God knows you. And just see how beautifully he just goes down deeply into her soul of what she really yearns for, what she's hungering for, and also what she has tried to satisfy that hunger with that's not been working. He goes right at it, but he goes at it in a loving, gracious, subtle way that only God can do. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, go and call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you are right in saying, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. And you see this beautiful metaphor, this picture of God saying, hey, you asking me, and we in the biosphere, we just speaking carnal and natural about water and drinking water, but I've got other water that if you drink that, you'll be satisfied. And she's like, I've no idea what you're saying. She kind of missed that. But then he goes to her thirst, the thirst of her heart, the thirst of her soul. And it's a relational thirst. She relationally has a deep thirst, and she's been trying to drink of relationship upon relationship upon relationship, and has not found it being satisfied. No fulfillment or contentment has come from drinking and drinking and drinking, and she's at husband number six, and she's still drinking, but she's not come to Christ. She's not come to the Spirit of life. She's not come to Zoe life. And he didn't come just condemning her. He goes and takes her on this beautiful pathway so that she can realize, hey, here's something else. Here's something different. And then we reading this can realize, whoa. So she's been in 1, 2, 3, relationship number 6, but still probably thirsty, because none of them might have carried God's blessing, God's heart, God's Zoe heart, and then Zoe life to absolute fulfillment like only living waters can. And so in this moment, I can then sit back in my life and start thinking, what is the things that I've been drinking? Where is the wells that I go to? What is the buckets that I drink from that is not satisfying and brings satisfaction and contentment and fulfillment to my soul and to who I really am? And maybe the Holy Spirit is now highlighting things that you're chasing and chasing, and just a little bit more, just a little bit more, and just if, and just if, and just if I get there. And then when you get there, you realize, no, that didn't work either. And so Christ is just taking us, and he's showing through this scripture, I believe, a beautiful picture that we need his Zoe life of his Spirit to have true fulfillment and true life. It goes on in verse 24, we're jumping a couple of verses. God is Spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. How ironic. He's just told you everything. And then Jesus said to her in verse 26, I who speak to you am he. I who speak to you am he. He's like, here's life. Life is standing right in front of you. The waters that you've been longing for, the relationship upon relationship upon relationship that you've been drinking from, here's the relationship. Here's the one and only. Here's the Spirit of the one and only. Here's the only one that can satisfy the soul of man. You can go and look for it everywhere else, albeit relationships and all the things that the world can throw at you, everything that is bios, everything that is deep to the soul, yet there's one, and it's Zoe Life, and that alone can fulfill. And she goes off and she tells the whole town that here's a man that told me everything I ever did. And so obviously there's been a massive encounter. And I'm trusting you for encounters in this time. I'm trusting my own life to have encounters with the Lord again so that I can live in this place of going to and drinking from a well of Zoe Life. And so what's the things in your life that you think will lead to life? What are the things that you think will keep safe, secure, and then satisfy your heart? What are those things? Just currently thinking in this world we're in, it might be your job or career, might be finance, investments, hobbies, the bios things, the things of your body, the shoes you wear or the makeup or the earrings. I forgot to wear mine today. But the bottom line is we can use all of these things thinking that in them and the affection and affirmation of man, of other bioses, if I may say it like that, in that we will have life, but yet each and every time it leads to an unfulfilled heart, an uncontent heart at the end of the day. And the Lord is just in the season saying, come back to me, the person of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, and with him you will have life. Now, does that mean that she should not have a husband? She should not drink water? Does that mean you can have no hobbies, should not drive that car that you actually prayed for or have that job? No. It's just saying when you have bios, psyche or psychological, soul life and Zoe life, we need to make sure that Zoe life is the primary one. The one that we know alone can fulfill us. And with Zoe, with a Zoe life and with the divine God-like life, have the vehicle that the Lord gives you. Have the job, have the spouse, have the kids, have the dog, have the running club, have whatever it is that you do life with. But have it with the Spirit of life. Have it with the Zoe Spirit of life. Because in that, I believe, is fulfillment and contentment to our hearts. Just quickly, thought of in preparation. 1 Timothy 6 verses 6 to 10 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I love great gain. I bet you do. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out. I believe we can take Zoe with us, if I may put it like that. Zoe life, whatever you sow in Zoe life, whatever you receive in Zoe life and give out in Zoe life, that you'll see one day because it's eternal. It's the Spirit of God. Verse 8, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation, a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And by craving it, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. That's hectic, but it's true, and it's scriptural. And in this case, it might be money, but it can be a lot of other things. And like we see with the Samaritan woman, it was relationships for her that did not lead to full life. And so, are you satisfied? If not, the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit is with you and want to leave you in a satisfying, content life in all you have. Not only receiving that Zoe life, but that Zoe life will flow from you. Because we know that it is a wellspring of life that flows from you. Zoe life can never be a dam. It will always be a river. And then the last one, and this was my favorite, Isaiah 58 verse 11. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places. Now, I think we find ourselves in scorched and dry places, so to speak, at the moment. And make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Hey, the Spirit of life will be that for you and me. We just say, have to say yes and invite the Holy Spirit to come and do that, the person of the Holy Spirit to do that in our life. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Imagine a community full of people who will be like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Not because they are founded in the biological life and the physical natural body life of life, not in the soul realm, so to speak, but that they are connected with the Zoe life of God, the God-like life that can only come of God that resides in them, to be springs of water whose waters do not fail. And obviously we see that in our foundational scripture as a church for this year, being John 7, 38 and 39. He who believes in me, as scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. And so receive Zoe life so that Zoe life can bubble up from you. And with that will come safety, security, but also, as we've seen today, fulfillment, contentment, and to be truly satisfied in life. Not that satisfaction and contentment need to come from the outside in. No, again, we see it will be a work of the inside out. To be satisfied on my inside, for the Spirit of life is here, Zoe life, and the river of Zoe life is on my inside. The acceptance on my inside. And from there, move on into that relationship. From there, go out and do that job. From there, get into that car that the Lord has given you. From there, go and enjoy the hobby. But may life and contentment be an inside-out job and not a continual waste of time and trying to make it an outside-in work, because we were not made that way. May the person of the Holy Spirit help us. When I share again, Beatrice is also going to bring a message soon. We'll look at again at Zoe life and the life of the Holy Spirit and how do we do it practically. And then also we can quench the Holy Spirit. We can also hurt the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. And we need to look at that according to Scripture as we journey together to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I want to pray with you this morning. Lord, I thank you for an amazing time together. Thank you for the grace upon our lives. Lord, we acknowledge that we need Zoe life to be satisfied. That is the way that you've put us together. Lord, we repent wherever we have looked for that life that leads to death, actually, and that life that cannot sustain us, that life that cannot satisfy us in any other place than from your Spirit, from you, from your Word, and from Christ. We just repent. Forgive us, Lord. Take whatever things are idolatrous in our lives from us, Lord. And we choose to lay it down and maybe take a moment with the Lord and just lay down those things that thought and looked and tried to deceive you as being life-giving but was not. And invite the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life again, and say, Lord, come and replace. Come and replace. Come and take in your rightful position. I want to do, and I want to drink from the waters that will sustain and that will fulfill in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We thank you for that, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way. Thank you that you will complete the work that you started in us. Thank you that we can get to know you afresh as the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit. And that we will not settle for anything that is not truthful, that is not godly, and that will not lead to true contentment. Again, help us to daily lay down those things that cannot satisfy. But we want that waters. We want that life stream that satisfies. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I trust you've been blessed. I trust that the Lord is working in your life. Talk this through. Pray this through. If you need to, be accountable about it. Share what the Lord is saying to you. And may we be that people, well-watered gardens, springs, not only to have life, but to be life givers to others as well. And let's not settle. Let's not settle for anything else, so that we can be a true reflection of this mighty God we serve, of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and Christ that we read from in the Bible. Let's be that people by His grace, in Jesus' name. Awesome. See you guys next time. Bye.